and welcome to Pembrokeshire. We've come here to walk in the footsteps of Saint David, the patron saint of Wales, for the world around us on Supreme Master Television. Pembrokeshire in the 5th and 6th century drew holy men and missionary saints from as far away as the Mediterranean, Brittany, Ireland, and various parts of Wales. Many had travelled across the Christian lands, from Rome to Jerusalem, and many other holy sites in search of enlightenment. After many years of searching, Saint David, Saint Colman, and Saint Justinian, to name but a few, settled and formed ministries here in Pembrokeshire. Even today, many of their churches remain as small, humble buildings, inviting peace and meditation on the divine. Legend has it that Saint Patrick, who was born near here, found this area to be so beautiful and tranquil that he sought to stay here himself. But an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and told him that his valley was assigned to a soul who would be born 30 years later, and that St. Patrick's work was to be across the sea in Ireland. We can see just why St. Patrick was so enamored of this area, which today sits inside the Pembrokeshire Coast National Park. St. David's Cathedral has been a pilgrimage site for those seeking to revere the holiness of St. David for over 1,200 years. It was decreed that two pilgrimages to St. David's Cathedral were equal to one pilgrimage to Rome, and three pilgrimages were equal to one pilgrimage to Jerusalem. Looking around, we can see why many people believe that this is the eighth wonder of the world.
I'm Wynne Evans, I'm the Dean of St. David's Cathedral. In one sense, I suppose, I'm the successor of St. David as the head of the community which he founded, which is now, of course, represented by the chapter of this cathedral. I always think that if David, our patron saint and founder, actually came back here and saw what was here today, I think he would be quite surprised, to put it mildly. Because here you have this magnificent stone building, which is the present cathedral behind me, and the equally magnificent ruined Bishop's Palace. I always say that the only thing he would recognise is the little River Allen, which runs through the middle of this cathedral close. Now here we are, down in the river valley, sheltered. It's indeed one of the few places on this peninsula that trees actually grow upright. And you can see, therefore, why David chose it. He also chose it, of course, because of the water supply, but also because he was right at the centre of his known world at that time. It is thought that sometime in the middle of the 6th century that he came here with some companions and founded a monastery. He insisted that his monks would not be allowed to use any draft animals, any oxen or horses, and therefore they ploughed the fields themselves. And of course that is what they lived on, because the other thing that people know about David was that he lived on water and herbs. In other words, he was a vegetarian really long before his time. He's known, of course, in Welsh as Dewi Ddyfrwr, Aquaticus in Latin, the waterman. I suppose there's one other reason why he came here, because the story, as the Latin life actually has it, is that he was born, of course, within a mile from here, on the cliffs. And even from his birth onwards, it's clear that he's marked out to be a very, very special person. The life does make a point of saying that he founded several monasteries, 12 of them, in fact, before he came here. In the middle of the life, there is this incident of David being called to go to a meeting of bishops, a synod, at a place called Brevi, Llandewi Brevi today, which is again a major David site in the Middle Ages. And so eloquent is he that the Holy Spirit, in the form of the dove, comes and rests on his shoulder. And that's why you can always recognize figures of David. He always has a dove on his shoulder. The other thing that's linked to him as well, of course, are these miracles. And it's interesting, most of the miracles are to do with water. Finding water. Wells springing up. We do have a holy well here, you can't see it. It runs now underneath the building. But then there are other examples of dry summers and David being asked to find water. He strikes his staff into the ground and the water just bubbles out. So clearly what you've got here I say that although the life of David was written 500 years after his death, it's the first life of any Welsh saint to survive. Here is this man who works wonders and then lives this heroically ascetic life. What happens is people come here in their hundreds and their thousands. There's this very, very vivid description at the end of the life where David knows that he is going to die, and therefore everybody laments, including the poor people he'd helped, including the widows and the orphans, and everyone who had come to him for counsel when he was alive, and presumably after he died, came here on pilgrimage, if you like, to make contact with him through praying at his shrine. And of course, this building behind me represents one of the major pilgrimage sites in medieval Europe. But all we really know about him, I suppose, is that he died in a year when March the 1st fell on a Tuesday, which is 589 or 601.
When we return, after these brief messages, we will hear how the life of St. David of Wales has had a positive influence in our modern times.
Sleep with the Bible every night. I had the Bible and sleep, and I always pray to God, say, please, can you show me yourself, the highest God, the God above all these human barriers, the God above all religious differences, the God above all hatred and racism. Please, can you show me? I would like to know you more than anything else. Until one day he has kind of led me into this spiritual way that he told me that would be quick for me so that I can know God. And since then, I'm more acquainted with our Father every day.
Of God and Humans is a special anthology that includes 13 Bible narratives uniquely retold by Supreme Master Ching Hai on various occasions. What types of spiritual messages do Bible stories reveal to readers? In which ways are these revelations relevant to modern people's lives? In this book, Supreme Master Ching Hai provides in-depth answers to these questions and also guides us in the ultimate road of salvation, the Kuan Yin method, which leads humankind to regain its paradise lost. Following the first chronicle, Paradise Lost, are many other extraordinary Bible stories, such as those of Noah, Lot, and Moses. Through this collection, we hope to share with readers Supreme Master Ching Hai's profound wisdom and wish of God and humans serves as a reminder of God's eternal love for humanity. For more information, visit us online at www.smchbooks.com.
Welcome back to The World Around Us on Supreme Master Television.
We now continue our visit to Pembrokeshire to trace the places once lived by the beloved Saint David of Wales.
One of the things I often get asked as Dean is, what really does David mean for us today? It's interesting, because that's a question which has nagged a whole lot of us as Welsh clergy, if you like, and as Welsh people. Anyway, it is interesting that at this time, there's a whole lot of interest, a revival of interest in the monastic life and in the eremitical life. Perhaps the sort of world we live in and want to withdraw from is the sort of world in which David lived and very clearly wanted to withdraw from. Here you have this person who was Welsh, who lived in Wales, who worked in Wales, who died in Wales. Therefore, of course, he is the only one of the patron saints of the four nations in these islands who's actually born and died and worked in the country of which he is the patron saint. And I think it is that focus on detachment from the world, on focusing on the religious life, which really had registered for David's contemporaries and really was carried all the way through. And I think that's really the end, the focus of what David is actually about. We're a small nation, very small nation, and we have this person who I suppose sums up the qualities of persistence and also loyalty to Jesus and loyalty to God. And he spends his whole life doing that. He focuses everything on that. He leaves all the blandishments of the world. He's from an aristocratic background, after all. He leaves all of that behind just to live in community with his brothers. It's here on the screen is a modern figure of David, dressed as a pre-Norman bishop, and a bishop obviously with his pastoral staff in his hand, and then the dove, the symbol of the Holy Spirit, resting on his shoulder. And that's how you recognize David. Any figures or paintings of David, that he has got the dove on his shoulder. There were two silver head reliquaries, two arm reliquaries, and what he called a worm-eaten book covered with silver plate, which was supposed to be the unfinished gospel that David had been called away one day to from actually illuminating a manuscript. When he came back, he found that the page had been finished in letters of gold, and the miracle was that it was an angel which had done that.
In speaking of holy wells, let us now visit the site where St. David is said to have been born. We're here now at the site of St. Non's Chapel. Some believe that St. Non, David's mother, was the niece of the legendary King Arthur. During her pregnancy, she went into the chapel to obtain blessings from St. Gildas for her unborn child. When St. Non entered the chapel, he lost his ability to preach. Although he was a very saintly man, he recognized that the spirit of the unborn child was far more holy than he. This 6th century chapel is believed by some to be the place where St. Non gave birth to St. David. Like many ancient Christian churches, it was built on a prehistoric religious site within a circle of stones. After becoming a priest, St. David is said to have spent 10 years here in Whitland, Carmarthenshire, where he came to study under St. Paulinus. St. Paulinus of Wales was a revered saint and hermit in Carmarthenshire. He founded several churches in the area. After many years, he gradually lost his eyesight. It was finally St. David who was able to touch the face of his tutor and restore his sight. Later, an angel of the Lord appeared to St. Paulinus and told him that it was time for St. David to go out and teach the Word of God. That concludes our sacred journey to St. David's Cathedral in Wales, a peaceful place of pilgrimage and beauty.